Revelation chapter number 20, we've made it this far, and I want to talk to you just a few minutes about this little section of Scripture right here. Last week we talked about Revelation 19, which happens right here, about verse number 11 says, "And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and righteous he doth judge and make war," and so on and so forth. Here's the second coming, where the Lord actually comes to the city of Jerusalem, stands on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives split. And he rides into Jerusalem. The first time he came before the cross, he rode in on a donkey, and he rode into Jerusalem through the sheep gate. This time he's coming back, and he'll ride through the eastern gate. That eastern gate has been boarded up by the Muslims because they've read Revelation 19, and they've boarded that eastern gate up with brick and mortar because they've heard that the Messiah was coming. Well, if a stone couldn't hold him in the graveyard, then brick and mortar's not going to hold him when he comes the second time. And he's going to ride through the eastern gate, down through the Kindred Valley, and he'll walk right into Jerusalem and sit down on the throne of his father David, and he'll rule and reign with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. This brings us to Revelation chapter number 20. And you'll find verse number 1 says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key, the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up." You know, y'all should have said amen right there. Wouldn't you like to shut up the devil? "And cast him in the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season." So what you're going to find here in Revelation chapter number 20, after the second coming, Jesus is going to ride into Jerusalem. He's going to sit down on his throne of his father David. What's going to happen is God is going to allow this angel with a great chain in his hand to go down and get old Lucifer, old Satan. See, a lot of people think Satan is in hell right now. He's not. He's not there. He is the prince and power of the air. He cannot be everywhere at the same time, so he's not omnipresent like God is. But his demon, he's got a bunch of fallen angels and a bunch of demons. You know, they're the guys that are haunting those houses that they're making money on, shooting those movies and different things on. And that's who they are. They're not your grandmother. They're not your aunt and your uncle and so on and so forth. They're evil demon spirits is what they are. And they're the underworld. You say, "How do you know they're not my so-and-so and my..." Because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Nobody's hanging around in a haunt no house around here. When you die, if you know the Lord, you're going to heaven. If you don't, you go to hell. It's just like that. You're not hanging around, flying around like Casper the Friendly Ghost with a sheet over you. It's just not that way. And there was a great chain in his hand. And he lays hold on the dragon, and he puts a chain on him and shuts him up in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Now, what you're going to find here in Revelation chapter number 20, I want you to read with me. Look at verse number 2. The end of verse 2, you see, 1,000 years. Y'all see that? That's where we call the millennium. Let me get back to here. This is the millennial kingdom. The millennial, that's a Latin word, milla, it's 1,000 years is what that means. That's an old Latin term, 1,000 years. Millennial reign of Christ, that's where we get that. This is 1,000 years. And so what's going to happen is, look at the end of verse 2, 1,000 years. Y'all with me? All right, verse 3, about middle ways, till 1,000 years. Y'all see that? That's 2. Now look at the end of, verse 4, the end of verse 4, lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Y'all see that? How many is that? 3. All right, verse 5, but the rest of the dead live not again till the what? All right, that's 4. Then you got verse 6, the end of verse 6. Y'all see 1,000 years? How many is that? How many is that? 5, right? That's 5 of them. Boy, some of you went to school in Newbern, didn't you? Verse number 7, and when the what? How many is that? That's 6 of them. Six times. The 1,000 years does not happen six different times. The 1,000-year millennial reign happens one time, but what God does, this is the good thing about your Bible, it mentions it six times. You say, what's the significance of that? Well, I'll tell you. A day with the Lord, 1,000 years, 1,000 years as one day, Peter says. And so God created this earth, day one, day two, three, four, five, six, and then he did what on day seven? He rested on day seven. That is the day of rest. So what God did for you, he put 6,000 years of human history, war, blood, guts, fighting, wars, rumors of wars, all through the 6,000 years of human history. And then after the 6 years, there's coming when Jesus comes in the second coming of Jesus Christ, he will set up his throne, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Have you ever thought about this? Let me look at this. It's just come to me. Hang on. Hang on. Genesis 1. If you want to look at it, hang on. I just thought of something. Y'all pray for me. All right. In verse 1, or chapter 1, every one of the days, at the end of it, he says, and the evening and the morning was the first day. Is everybody with me? The evening and the morning was the second day. Evening and the morning was the third day. Ready? Evening and the morning was the fourth day. You got it? Look at verse 2, or chapter 2, rather. Chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he hath made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. You know what you don't see? The evening and the morning was the seventh day. Why? Because of his kingdom there is no end. Your Bible is full of little nuggets like that. Now, go back to Revelation chapter number 20. So what you're going to have? You're going to have 6,000 years. Now, I'm not saying, please, don't leave the building. I know some people, they misinterpret Brother Jeremy. And they'll go out and say, well, Brother Jeremy said it took 6,000 years for God to create. No, I did not say that. These are 24-hour days when God created. Are you with me? But Peter said, as day was the Lord, 1,000 years, one day. So, typically speaking, In the Bible, you have 6,000 years of human history, in the 4,000 years of Old Testament history, 2,000 years New Testament history, 6,000 years, and then God rests. And when he rests right here, and he sits down on his throne of his father David, and he rules and reigns with a rod of iron. That's what we're talking about. If you want to see something interesting, would you like to see something interesting? All right, take your Bible and turn to John 17. Real quick, John 17, we're coming back. John 17, look at this. The Bible is full of these. Look at John 17, verse 16. Now, I'm going to wait till you get here because you've got to see this. John 16, is everybody there? I don't know. 16, is everybody there? Everybody's there. If you ain't there, say, hang on. All right. All right, John 16, verse 16. First three words is what? A little while. I want y'all to count how many a little whiles they are. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me because I go to my Father. You understand what he's saying? He's telling the disciples, a little while I was here. 33 and a half years, and then I was gone. I ascended to my Father. In a little while, I'll be back. Everybody with me? All right, so 16's got two of them in it. Verse 17, then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that thou saith unto us, a little while, and ye shall not see me? And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to my Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto him, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me. How many did y'all count? There are seven of them. Seven, a little whiles. You know why? Day one, day two, three, four, five, and six, God's coming, and there's going to be seven a little whiles, and this thing's going to be all over with. Right there found in John chapter number 16. Now, go back to Revelation chapter number 20, and let's look and see what we can find here. Revelation chapter number 20. All right, let's look at verse number 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, nor neither his image, neither had received the mark in their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, in verse 4, there are two groups of people. The first part, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. That's church age saints. We're going to judge angels, if you will. Verse 4, the first group is church age saints. And then you have a colon. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. That's tribulation saints. Two different groups right here that is going to rule and reign. There's going to be church age saints and tribulation saints that are going to rule and reign with Him for this 1,000 years. Everybody understand that? Then you got verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, look, well, let me finish reading. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, let me explain this first resurrection for you. This first resurrection has three parts. Some of you farmers, J.C., Eric, and Brother Larry, Joe, some of y'all can explain this a whole lot better than I. But the first resurrection has three parts. You have the first fruits, then you have the harvest, and then you have the gleanings. Now, what happens is, right after Jesus Christ raises from the dead, the graves burst open. That's the first fruits. Jesus Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. First fruits of the resurrection. And then, here's the main harvest, the rapture of the church. Stay in your seat, don't get excited. But this is the main harvest. He got some first fruits right here. Many of those that slept arose when he arose. That's first fruits. Then you have the big harvest right here. And then there's going to be a rapture in the tribulation period, the leftovers, the gleanings. Blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death have no power. Guess what? Ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved in this room, you are never going to die. You say, well, yeah, I know a lot of saved people that die. No, you don't. You say, well, as I was at their funeral, I got a little news for you. News flash. Just because you saw their body laying at the funeral home don't mean they're not breathing and alive in a well somewhere. If you're saved, you will never see the second death. If you have part in the first resurrection, which is the first fruits, the harvest, and the gleanings, you will not have any part in the second death. You say, preacher, what's the second death? Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. If you're saved, you'll not have part in the second death. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. That ought to got some of you excited about that. For sure. Now, then verse 7 takes place. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Now, so the first part, right in the first of here. Is everybody with me? Y'all see my little, you know, I didn't take my medicine, so this thing is, you know. I usually keep a fifth of vanilla extract right under my seat to calm that down. But it... Some of y'all were just, I don't know, you missed everything. But right here at the first, Y'all don't remember. Some of y'all missed that. Vanilla extract? Huh? Yeah, it's got alcohol in it. My mama, you have a tooth and you couldn't get to the dentist. The dentist wasn't open yet. Now, we got to wait till Monday. She'd get one of them cotton balls and stick it down in that vanilla extract. And she'd take a toothpick and job it down in that tooth. And boy, there for a few minutes, you'll feel good. Hallelujah. I started keeping a fifth under that under my seat just to cut the phlegm out of my throat. You understand? Well, anyway. Now, that's all fun and games, all right? So y'all don't go to, anyway. And don't be going looking under my seat either. First part right here is where Satan is bound for this 1,000 years. He's going to be bound up. Now, at the end of this, the end of the 1,000 years is where he'll be loosed for a little season. Now, let me explain something in this 1,000-year millennial reign. The millennial reign is going to be set up. You'll have the church, which is the New Jerusalem. Y'all see that? You may not can really see it very good, but you have the New Jerusalem. That's the church. Then you have the New Earth. You have the New Heaven out here. You have the New Jerusalem, and then you have the New Earth. The New Earth will be occupied by the nation of Israel, and the New Jerusalem be occupied by the church, Jacob's ladder in between there. And so anyway, these are 12 tribes. The lion will lay down with the lamb. Somebody said, well, we're in the millennial now. No, we're not. We're not in the millennial. You say, how do you know? Well, go to the zoo. Stick your arm in the lion's cage and see what happens. If he don't bite your arm off, then we might be in the millennial. But the book of Isaiah says when you get in the millennial, the curse is going to be lifted. In the Garden of Eden, they were all vegetarians. And the lion would lay down with the lamb and it wasn't any food chain, if you will. Well, after sin came on this thing, everything, the curse was upon the land. Thorns and thistles come from the ground, and so on and so forth. It's been that way for 6,000 years. But on the 7,000th year, the curse is going to be lifted. The lion will lay down with the lamb. A child will be 100 years old and still be considered a child. The age will go back before the flood, and people will live to be 300 and 400 years old in the millennium. And so several kids will be born in here. And when Satan is loose for his little season, look at verse number 7. Let's read it. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp, the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Y'all see that? Now, let's read verse 10. If you don't shout on verse 10, then there's just no shouting on you. And the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And that's the end of the whole thing. Lucifer showed up in the Garden of Eden. And this is his end right here. That's why we say we've read the back of the book and we're on the right team. We are on the right team and we win. Now, notice what happens. Some people say, well, you believe in the Big Bang Theory. Well, sure I do. I believe in the Big Bang. You mean you believe in the Big Bang and everything was created? Oh, no. The Big Bang is on the back end, not the front end. This is going to be a big bang right here. You say, how do you know? Well, look at 2 Peter real quick. 2 Peter, to your right, 2 Peter, right after 1 Peter, 2 Peter 3, and look at this. Is everybody there? But the day of the Lord, that's the second coming, will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved. Now, when they say the heavens are on fire, that's not talking about where God's at. Remember, there are three heavens. There are three heavens. The first heaven, the second heaven, are going to be on fire. Not where God's at. There's three heavens. And the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, let me show you this. Right where Satan is loose for his little season, I'm going to tell you why this is so important. Leader has given the capability to Iran to build an atomic bomb. Now, you say, how in the world are you going to be able to dissolve two heavens, the first one and the second one? It will be an atomic bomb that blows this place up, and it's going to be a big bang. And you might as well get ready. Now, some of you, don't worry. We're going to be watching it from Fox News in the sky, okay? They'll be covering it. A bunch of them will be covering it. And every eye shall see. And the only way every eye shall see is if all the news media, they're going to be there, and they're going to show the camera there, and they're going to see this thing when He comes. And all of this, the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. And this thing's going to be dissolved. Now, you say, what are you talking about? All right. Do you remember? Okay. You remember on the front end of this thing, Noah and the flood. God destroyed this earth with what? Water. You remember that? And God put a rainbow in the sky and said, I will not do it again with water. Remember that? Well, this time He's going to do it with fire. Fire is a purifier. And He takes that new millennial age at the end of it. Satan is going to be loosed, and God's going to call fire down from heaven. Atomic bomb will burn this whole place up. And what do we find? A new Jerusalem, a new city, a new heaven, and a new earth. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you look at chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. You see that? And I, John, saw the holy city, new Jerusalem. All of these things will be made new. That's the only way God can regenerate is by this process. He's going to burn it up with fire and build it anew. We're going to be in heaven in the new Jerusalem, so don't worry. If you're saved, you got it covered. Now, look at verse number 11. Verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Now you say, explain that. Now think about this. Think for a second. Think. Lost people are standing on this earth. All of a sudden, this earth disintegrates, and every lost person that's buried in the ground, every lost person that's standing on their two feet, the earth disintegrates out from under them, and they're standing in midair. Nothing under them, and they look up, and all they see is a great white throne. Your mama's not there holding your hand? Huh? Hey, your daddy's not going to get you out of this one. Ain't nobody going to be standing there. You're going to look up, and there's going to be a great white throne. And He that sat upon Him, you can't look upon His face. You look down and say, what am I standing on? You ain't standing on nothing. The very idea that you're even standing there is because God's allowing you to stand there. Now, read it again and see if it don't make better sense. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. No place for them what? No place to stand. And then verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great. It don't make any difference if you're a nobody, or if you're a king, or if you're a president, or if you're Hitler, or who you are. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. You with me? There's two sets of books. There's the book of life that contains the names of those that are saved. Then you have another set of books that contains your works. Now, I'm saying your. I may not be talking to you. If you're saved, I'm not talking to you. If you're lost and don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I'm talking to you because you'll be standing here. And these books contain all of your works. And look at verse number 13. Now, all right, let me see if we can, let's see if we can have a pop quiz. Right before all this happens, the earth is disintegrated. Heaven is disintegrated, right? Well, look at verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. What sea is that? Do y'all remember the first part of the book of Revelation? I told you that there was a body of water right before you get to heaven. You say, well, what's in that? Well, you'll just have to wait and see. And the sea gave up in the dead which were in it. Hey, I bet you there's a bunch of fallen angels and all kind of stuff out there. You say, man, what have you been smoking, preacher? But here's what gets under my skin. You hear it from the pulpit and you question it. If you saw it on the Discovery Channel, oh, that's the truth. I know that's the truth. It's on the Discovery Channel. I saw it on the internet. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the what? Second death. Saddest verse in the Bible. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a different place. This is a different place than hell. Hell is in the center of the earth. Hell is in the center of the earth. If you studied science, if you paid attention in science, in the center of the earth is a core. Anytime a volcano explodes or erupts, what comes out of that volcano is lava, burning, hot rock. The Bible says hell hath enlarged herself. Every time one of those volcanoes spews, hell is making more room. Mark her down. I'm not talking Greek to you. And that's where hell is. But here, the lake of fire is somewhere totally different. The lake of fire could be the sun. I don't know where the lake of fire is. I just know I ain't going. And you say, well, can you explain that? I can explain it real easily. When a person is arrested here in Dyer County, they take him to the Dyer County Jail to be held until he goes before the judge. He goes before the judge and he's tried. He's found guilty. They don't take him back to the Dyer County Jail. if he gets longer sentence than over a year or so, they sent him to the state penitentiary. You understand? Hell is the county hole until you go see the judge, Great White Throne. Great White Throne, you're judged and sentenced and carried to the lake of fire. You understand? That's all in the Bible. Say, preacher, man, I don't like all this hell stuff. Well, there's not many churches you can hear about it anymore. I mean, you ought to enjoy it. I mean, because there ain't many places you can go and hear about that anymore. And you're not going to hear about it much on television, if at all. And verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, how in the world can God look at somebody and cast them in the lake of fire? I got one better than that. How could anybody hear the gospel of how Jesus loved you so much and died for you, and you turn and say, I don't want that? That's the real question. It's not a matter of how could God do that. No, friend, it's how could you reject that kind of love. That's what it's all about. Now, Mark's coming to the piano, but I'm going to tell you this, what I believe, this is not in the Bible. But I think I'm right on it. Because any time the Apostle Paul went into those arenas, they always had an audience. And at the Great White Throne, they're going to be calling, at the Great White Throne, they're probably going to be calling folks' names. And they're going to be looking, what's your name? I can't find it in here. I don't see your name here. Don't see your name written. But I believe up in the balcony section will be the church. And we'll be watching. And there's people that we could have talked to, witnessed to, told how to stay out of that place. That you'll see. I know what you're thinking. No, preacher. No. That is impossible. Because there's no tears in heaven. The song says it. So it's got to be true. No tears in heaven. Hey. Look at chapter 21 and verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from thy eyes. Everybody see that? That's after chapter 20. God don't wipe away tears until after chapter 20. So, I'm saying this while we're fixing to get ready to leave. There's a lot of people we need to talk to. And there's a lot of people. You say, preacher, why are we building a 900-seat auditorium? Because there's a bunch of people need to hear the gospel. Ain't got anything to do with me. Nothing to do with me. Anybody that gets behind this pulpit and preaches the gospel, Dyer County, Tennessee, needs to hear it. Every person needs to hear it. And we need to make room for those people. Because if they don't hear it, and their name's not in the book of life, they'll be cast in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Let's all stand all over the building. Mark, you play. If you need to come pray about something.